With a country divided, the republic at risk, and morality being redefined, it's time to gather round the campfire, get back to basics, and spark the revival that this country so desperately needs. This is the American Campfire Revival with Kirk Cameron.
Well, I'm really excited about this. My good friend Jay Yance from Everyday Talk 24/7, or 24/7 Everyday Talk, is just such a wealth of wisdom. I've said before, he's like my personal Gandalf, and he's always offering such great insights into personal relationships, particularly within our families. And tonight we're going to be talking about the second part of sin, repentance, and forgiveness. We talked last night about how forgiveness really doesn't mean anything if there's nothing to forgive. And so at the root of this is that you've been offended, or that you've offended somebody else, and you are in need of forgiveness. But the way to get there is by going through the door of repentance. We outlined how sin is ultimately a violent act against another person. And if you've been sinned against in a deep way, particularly by somebody who is close to you, the damage that is done is deep. And you know what that feels like, to be betrayed, to be manipulated. You know what it feels like for someone to throw you under the bus. Someone that you trusted, someone who you've given the key to your heart to, has used their position of closeness to harm you. Or maybe you've done that to somebody else. And our sin is not only a violent act against our loved ones or our neighbor, but it's also dishonoring everything that God has done for us. And he's given us our life. He's given us our loved ones. He's given us his son, whose blood was spilled to pay the price for our sins so that we could be in a relationship with God and find forgiveness and be free of shame and guilt and the fear of punishment and be adopted into his family. It's dishonoring all of that when we sin. And a quick, "I'm sorry," doesn't cut it. We've got to understand the gravity of sin and the serious damage that it does if we're ever going to find our way to genuine forgiveness and healing. Jay points out that forgiveness is not a formula. It's not just something you do to check off a box to say, okay, there we go. You know, I said this prayer. I said, hey, I'm sorry. That was wrong. Please forgive me. Okay, and now we're moving on. It doesn't work like that. Forgiveness is something much deeper. I'm sorry, repentance is something much deeper. Here's a great definition. Okay, it's always good to define our terms. Repentance is turning away from sin in humble obedience and then living in a way that is consistent with what brings healing and restoration. Let me say that again. True repentance is turning away from sin in humble obedience to God and his word, and living in a way that is consistent with what brings healing and restoration. If I'm sinning against you with my words, I need to come clean and I need to confess to God and I need to turn away and no longer live in a way where I'm damaging you with my words, but live in a way that uses my words to bring healing and restoration. Kind and gentle words, words that bring life, not words that cut and kill. That's repentance. So our first response in repentance, if you are someone who needs to repent, this is the first response. And if you're looking for someone to demonstrate repentance toward you as the injured party, here's what to be looking for. The first response is to God. It's like King David in Psalm 51, when he said, "Oh God," he said, "how could I sin and do this wicked thing in your sight?" He said, "I've sinned against you, dear God." When he cheated with Bathsheba, when he had her husband murdered, and he committed adultery with Bathsheba, he understood that first of all, his sin is against God, the one who gave him life, the one who created him and created Bathsheba. All sin is primarily vertical between us and God. Genuine repentance includes humble submission from the heart and demonstrates a willingness to change in a way that is consistent with the damage done by my sin. So if I am involved in sexual immorality, genuine repentance involves submission from my heart to the consequences that are going to come to me because of my violation of the law of God. And those may be civil consequences. Those may be spiritual consequences that come from the family of faith, the people that I've submitted myself to, maybe in my church, my pastor, maybe my parents. And I'm going to demonstrate a willingness to change my behavior, not just a little, but a 180-degree turn, right? Think of how this would work with any other type of sin and violent act. Let's say murder. If I am a murderer, I'm not going to just change a little and say, well, I won't murder people twice a week. Now I'm down to once a week, so I'm doing better. No. It's a 180-degree turn in the other way, and you mortify the sin. You wage war against the enemy. You cut its head off like a viper, and you head the other way. And you avoid it like kryptonite. You get it out of your system like cancer with God's help. And you start living in a way that promotes healing and restoration, namely extreme faithfulness, not only in my actions, but in my words and in my thoughts toward my wife or maybe toward your husband. That's where it begins. And genuine repentance continues. It continues with full and complete confession to God for what you have done. Name the sin. Go into detail. Lay it all on the table. God sees it all anyway. There's nothing we can hide from him. And then a full confession to the person against whom we have sinned. If I've sinned against you, I owe you a complete confession of what I have done. No more secrets. Genuine repentance doesn't hide their sin. And it also includes full submission and accountability to those who are going to help me get back on the right track. Otherwise, if we don't submit to all of that, a full confession, willingness to change, willing to submit and have accountability in my life, then we're just glossing over the sin and we're making light of it. And we've not achieved genuine repentance. Think of King David again. He's committed adultery with Bathsheba. And he says this in Psalm 51. He says, "Surely you desire integrity in the inner man. You teach me wisdom within." See, David is referring to the heart. He's saying, you require integrity and wholeness and consistency inside my heart. Repentance is not just a quickie formula of, I'm sorry, I was wrong, please forgive me, okay, we're good to go. It's not just like you go in and you check off a little religious box. He understood it's a matter of an overhaul and a changing of the heart, because it's the heart that drives the ugliness of sin. Jesus said, it's out of the heart the mouth speaks. If you want to know what's going on inside your kid's heart, listen to what they're saying. It's clues as to what's being stored up in their heart. Jesus said that it's a man stores up goodness in his heart or evil in his heart. And all of the murder and the lying and the adultery and the unfaithfulness and the deception and the manipulation of sin is rooted in the heart. And that's why David's repentance was a heartfelt, humble turning away from his sin. He said, "Wash me, God, and I will be clean." He said, "Cleanse me, and I will be whiter than snow." He knew that he couldn't say a quickie apology to clean his heart. That was something only God can do when he came to him in brokenness and humility. He understands that he's dirty from the inside out and he needs to be cleansed and healed by the Almighty. If you've been sinned against in a grievous way, isn't that what you want from your husband or from your wife? Isn't that what your heart longs to hear from them, is that they recognize the gravity of their sin and that they recognize there's nothing they can do to fix it, but to turn to God in humility and brokenness and repentance and cry out for a heart change and then be willing to submit to whatever it takes to make things right with you?
Hey guys, it's Kirk here. Did you know that another option to traditional insurance even exists out there? I get that it may come as a surprise since we're so conditioned to think traditional insurance is our only option, but that's simply not true. My family has been using Christian Healthcare Ministries over the last several years, and I cannot recommend them enough to other like-minded believers looking to do things differently than what we've been told to do. CHM is the faith-based alternative to insurance. And most importantly, with CHM, we know that our money is going to help other fellow Christians when they're in need. And this is how we like to steward our dollars when it comes to healthcare. Are you tired of your healthcare the same old way and want to do things the better way? I highly recommend you start by checking out CHM and see if this is an option that could work for your family's healthcare. It does for ours. It's not harder, but it's different in the best way. Learn more today by visiting chministries.org/Kirk Cameron. Again, that's chministries.org/Kirk Cameron.
So that's the response to God, and now the response to people. Repentance must be in keeping with the sin committed. And it's not just the instant act of what they did. If someone sinned against you, it's not just that little act. If we're talking about unfaithfulness, there are hundreds and hundreds of decisions that led up to the one act. There is perhaps a long period of time of deeply ingrained patterns of unfaithfulness and sin. And that's not taken care of by a quick, "I'm sorry, please forgive me." There's a lot of care and time that needs to go into that restoration and healing process. It's like I told you about with my mom's knees. She got her knee replaced. It's not like, okay, good, we replaced the knee, so now you're good to go. Why are you wincing? Why are you upset? Why are you in pain? Well, because damage has occurred, and it takes a lot of intensive care. Same relationally. There's relational consequences to our sin. And don't worry, we're moving toward forgiveness and healing, but we've got to get sin and repentance right. Perhaps one of the most grievous things that I can do if I've sinned against you is tell you that God's forgiven me, and so what's your problem? Why are you still having a hard time with what I've done to you? Because, see, the problem here is that I'm not understanding the depth of the injury that you have incurred, right? And then also, to make matters worse, I could start quoting Bible verses to you. I could start saying, well, it says right here in the Bible that God has forgiven me if I confess my sins, and therefore, you know what, you need to forgive me too, and you need to extend forgiveness to me, because if you don't forgive me, God won't forgive you. And start using Bible verses as religious tools to further manipulate you. That's the worst kind of sin. In fact, that's what Jesus talked about when he railed on the Pharisees, the religious leaders who would strain out a gnat, he said, and swallow a camel. They would point out the speck in their brother's eye while they had an entire plank impeding their own vision. No, repentance is much more than manipulating people with Bible verses and a quickie formula to get off the hook. It's a full submission to the appropriate civil authorities. If you've broken civil law, you need to submit to those authorities. If I've committed sin, I also need to submit to the family of faith and the spiritual authorities that I have placed myself under, like church leaders, and go along with whatever is appropriate as consequences for my sin. Now, you may say, well, that sounds like that's not very forgiving. No, no, no. Civil consequences is not anti-forgiveness. In fact, that's part of the forgiveness and the rehabilitation process, both for the person who's been sinned against. If there are civil consequences against the person who's doing the sinning, that is both part of the healing process for the victim, and it's also part of the rehabilitation process for the perpetrator. God has put civil authorities in place and church authorities in place and family authorities in place, and they're there for our good, and we must not short circuit those consequences. We got to be willing to accept the consequences, or we're not repentant. We need to submit to counselors for accountability and protection for the one who's been hurt and harmed. If I've sinned against you, I've got to be willing to submit to accountability and having other people speak into my life and hold me accountable, because I've demonstrated I don't have self-control. I don't have spiritual maturity, and I can't control my anger or my temptations sufficiently to where I'm not injuring and committing acts of violence toward other people. And so I need to submit to those accountability people and understand that the person I've hurt needs protection and care and healing. In fact, I'm the last person who can help them heal, because I'm the one who's actually caused the injury. I need to find healing myself, and the person I've sinned against needs to find healing themselves, and they need protection. It's also including wholehearted support for whatever is needed by the person that they hurt. If you need time, you got it. If you need counselors, I'll pay for it. If you need me to stay away, you can have all the space that you need. If you need me to just tell you again what I've done and demonstrate that I understand the gravity of my injury toward you, I will write it out in 10 different languages and write it out in the sky. Whatever is necessary to demonstrate my heartfelt repentance is what I want to show to you. You want me to talk to your counselor? You want me to talk to your children? You want me to talk to your parents? You want me to talk to whoever and demonstrate the repentance going on in my heart and what God has shown me about my sin? I am willing to do all of that. I'm coming clean and not hiding anything else. That's the attitude that is representative of true repentance. David said this in Psalm 51. I know this is a little bit long, but I want to really hit this. It's just another minute here. He said, "You do not want a sacrifice, or I would give it. What pleases you is a broken spirit and a humble heart." The Bible talks about godly sorrow comes from the heart. It is humble. It is deeply grieved over what we've done and willing to change. It's more than just regret. Regret is just being sorry that it happened, just being sorry that you got hurt. It's being sorry that I did this, or being sorry that I got caught. That is not repentance. And if you stop at regret, just being sorry, that will only lead to more sin, more damage, and more brokenness. Genuine repentance must be achieved before forgiveness is granted. If I want genuine forgiveness from God or from another person, I must first move past regret. In fact, God says in His Word that He grants godly sorrow without regret that leads to life and healing and wholeness. And that's necessary if we ever want to reach forgiveness. And God is calling you and me to demonstrate that kind of heartfelt, humble willingness to submit, willing to accept consequences, willing to change, and willing to support whatever is needed from the injured party. And if we can go there with God's help, we can then find the priceless treasure of forgiveness and healing. Thanks so much for walking through all that with me tonight. It means a lot to me right now. I'm feeling all this very personally. God bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to the American Campfire Revival Podcast. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode. If you'd like to learn more and join the movement, visit kirkcameron.com.